and God's heart for the needy and the poor. So last week, we looked at God's heart for the poor and needy, and then particularly looked at CAP, with the work of CAP, which was Brian brought a report on its progress. And this week, we're going to do very similar. We're going to hear a bit of a word, and then we're going to move into a report on safe families. So, but just to remind you, for last week, we looked at God himself, how he identifies with the poor, both physically and symbolically. He commands us to care for the poor and to speak out for the poor for justice. And we saw that his heart is ultimately expressed in his heart for the lowest of the low, the destitute. And we also then looked at how serving the poor and loving the poor was actually a blessing, whether it was an immediate thing, not always straight away, but God is never our debtor. The kingdom principle is we don't serve to get, but when we serve, we receive. Now, I also define the poor, if you'd just like to bring up the slide, Matt. I define the poor as anybody in our lives or people we come in contact with in a lower state than we are, a lower state. I'm just using that word generically. And I've actually listed here, or it'll come up on the slide, how are the things that we can be, or people can be poor in? One is materials, just simply material things. Also, people can be poorer financially, the obvious one. People can be poorer with means, the ability to do things, they can be poorer. We can also look at people who are poorer intellectually. They struggle to do things which are like forms and things like that. We can also look at people who are poorer mentally, who have low resilience, and they struggle when trouble and difficulties come. And then also, there's a category where people are poorer in relationships and connections. It's not something we think about straight away. But which one do you think out of all of those is the greatest one, the greatest need? It's relationships and connections. That's the one which is the biggest challenge. Because if you think about it, when people have relationships and connections, they have the potential of all of the others happening to help them. But when you've got nothing, you really are in trouble. So that is where safe families play such an important role for us as well as a church and helping us connect to that. But I just want to ask a question. Where does this disconnection, this poor in relationships and connections come? Where does it come from? What is it? You know, for all our great advances of technology, modern people, we are distracted more than ever. We have more connections through our social media. Yet, research teaches us we are lonelier than any other group in history. All is not well. We have a deep crisis of belonging. Clicking on a website saying, I like something, does not really connect you. It doesn't answer the question, deep question, and the longing on our hearts, which is, where do we belong? And many have lost a true sense of belonging. You know, research also teaches us that in promoting sustained happiness, income level, even marriage, children, and perceived security all pale in comparison to belonging. We long to belong. In 1995, in the US, in Florida State, they did this massive, massive research project, and they went through absolutely hundreds of thousands of people, and working out what were they satisfied with life and what was the key ingredient that brought any sense of healthy, satisfied life. And it was without doubt, it was the sense of a place to belong that produced the healthiest and most satisfied individuals. You know, who do we really belong to? Is the great question that haunts so many of us and people in our lives today. You know, the definition of belonging is quite interesting. It's not just an abstract psychological state that we sometimes think about. It's actually a primary human need. Now, Maslow, good old Maslow, published a diagram in 1943. I don't have 100% agreement with this diagram, but that's another issue. He published it in 1943 on the hierarchy of human needs. And it's interesting, when you look at this diagram, he sort of starts with the big fundamental ones at the bottom, and then it moves up. What's at the bottom? Well, yes, food, water, warmth, and rest, and security and safety. But what comes next? Belonging. Belonging. It's right in the center. Absolutely. Belonging is a primary human need. There's a lady called Benny Brown, an author and a social worker, TED speaker, says, defines belonging as the innate human desire to be part of something larger than us. We have a deep longing to belong. So where does this come from? Why do we have this? Well, we all could know that this is true, but belonging has deep roots in the biblical story and in Christian theology. It's a complicated theme, but we need to look back at the Garden of Eden. Let's just have a look at this slide. The Garden of Eden is in the picture, and the Bible teaches us, in the Garden of Eden, there was perfect relationships between God the Father and man, between man and woman, and actually between man and woman and the actual creation, the earth. There was perfect, deep sense of belonging. There was a person, the Father, who brought them together. There's a people, them, Adam and Eve, and they were loved and they were known. There was named Adam, Eve, they were known. And there was a place, the Garden of Eden. Even if you think it was a rough place or a very nice cooked garden, doesn't matter. Theologically, I think it's a bit more of a place where the elements were. But anyway, it was still a place. It was a named place. If you think about when people sense a sense of belonging, they often talk about, I belong to a place. I remember I was brought up in Yorkshire. That's my home, you know. We do have that, we sort of translate it into a place. The sad thing is when we talk about places in our past, they've all changed. So when I went back to Yorkshire and went down the street where I was as a young boy and I thought, oh, this will help me feel at home, I didn't, because everything had changed. The roads had changed, the people had changed, the windows had changed, the weather was changed, it wasn't even sunny. Well, last time I went, it was sunny. Anyway, what I'm trying to show you is we're looking for this place. Here in the garden, there was a place. There was a person and there was a common goal to rule and reign with the Father. And as a Christian, you should know what happens next. If you go to the next slide. We took and we were tempted and we took from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What that meant is we now started to decide what is right and wrong. It's not just we broke God's law, we are now going to create the law. We are lawmakers, not just lawbreakers. And what happened was the Father took Adam and Eve and he took them out of the garden. And it says in Scripture that the Lord banished them from the garden. And he sent Adam out to cultivate the ground from which he had been made. After sending them out, the Lord stationed a mighty angel to the east of the garden and placed a flaming sword that flashed back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. We couldn't stay. We were sin. We were sinful. We couldn't stay. And we were removed. And the consequence of that sin is a catastrophic yearning to belong that's deep inside us. Every single human has got it. I want to belong. And it's combined in thinking about being with somebody. It's always belonging to something, to somebody mainly, and a place and having a common purpose. It's deep inside us. As Benny Brown says, this yearning to belong is so primal, we often try to acquire it by fitting in or seeking approval, which are not only hollow substitutes for belonging, but often barriers to it. So what is the answer? Well, true belonging is the answer. But true belonging has two dimensions to it. If you look at this little 2x2 chart from Andy Crouch, I haven't got time to spend on this, but it has got some very deep points to it. But actually, if we think about it, what really enables us to belong? Well, we think, well, it's being known, isn't it? If I'm known, I will belong. So you get, you know, you join a yacht club and your name is given to the membership and you'll then get an email through because you're known, you know, and that type of thing. But that isn't enough, is it? Being known is not really answering that deep longing in our hearts to belong, because we need to know we are loved. The other one here in the right-hand corner is fitting in. It's not known, but loved. People actually struggle with this because you can be loved, but deep down, you say this to people when you're struggling to belong. It's, but if you really knew who I was, if you really knew who I am, really inside, I'm not sure you would think you'd love me. So we often fit in to what's going on, to feel a sense of belonging, but we are not truly known. No. True belonging is being totally, fully known, completely known, and loved at the same time. It's both. And this is the amazing thing about Jesus, is when we become a Christian, there are two things happen. One, we know we are fully known. Jesus didn't just look at our sin and go, wait a minute, I can see a bit of sin. I wasn't sure yet. Oh, I didn't know about that. And suddenly, what we do, suddenly we can alienate ourselves from God because we've sinned greater than we have. He fully knows us. He knows us so much that he had to die for us in our place. At the same time, the Bible teaches us we are fully loved, greater than we can imagine and even think. We are loved and yet known fully. Just read Psalm 139 and you start to see it. That's a true sense of belonging. And Jesus provides that. We are now secure in Christ. It says we are established and rooted in love, and we now belong to him. That is who we are. Now, I'm just going to pull this back to talking about, say, families. The truth is, we are rich in relationships. That's actually, as a Christian, once you become a Christian, you become rich in relationships. You have an opportunity immediately and a deep opportunity to have with people who love you and know you. That is our position now in Christ. And what God's heart is that we, the rich, extend that to others and help them have a sense of belonging. It says, this interesting scripture, it says, God's kindness leads us to repentance. And in a way, what we're doing and what we're doing with Safe Families is extending that richness that we have now in Christ and allows us to reach out to others who haven't got that sense of belonging and yet they might and could. That's what we're doing. This is an amazing paradox if you think about it, because in a way, if you want real life, really, you have to give yours away. If you want to find yourself, you must lose yourself. It's the classic kingdom. You go low to go high. And when we take a focus of ourselves and even our need for belonging and create space for others to belong, we find ourselves surrounded by those who are happy to have us in their lives. This is the opportunity Safe Family gives us. It's an opportunity. It's not for everyone. I'll come on to that in a minute. But it plays a role to provide the opportunity for us to create the sense of belonging in others who have no sense of belonging at all. In its statement, in its purpose statement, which Matt is just about to show you, Safe Families says this: Safe Families offers hope, belonging, and support to children and families. There you are, the word belonging. And I just want us to really get excited about this, to be encouraged by what you hear, the stories that are coming through. I'll just point out one very important point. This is not for everyone. And when we talk about serving the poor, there are people in this church who are already doing it in their job. And it doesn't mean you can then jump straight into Safe Families. I totally appreciate that. And it isn't the only work we're doing. We're also doing CAP and serving the food bank. But I want you to hear the option there. The call to make space so people can belong. The stepping out that God is calling us to do. Matt.